Good morning. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I am the producer and host of WTBR's Morning Drive. As you know, we have an election coming up in September, and WTBR being community-based radio and PCTV being Pittsfield community-based television, we are going to air interviews with all the candidates in the preliminary election that responded to our invitations. The order of presentation is exactly how we receive the candidates. First come, first on. Last come, it will be the last interview. Please vote. Please vote. Thank you and God bless. Keep on. Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. Today, we are interviewing again for the mayor, one of the mayoral candidates, Peter Marchetti. And Peter, welcome. And I hope the campaign for you is going well.
Good morning, Bill, and thank you. I think it's going terrific.
Good, good. And let me say this. Thank you for running. Thank you for throwing your hat in the ring. I tell everybody that the system would not work if people didn't run for public office. So I thank you for that. So first question, I know this is going to catch you. It's a setup question, catch you off guard. It's why are you running for mayor?
Well, Bill, I have spent a lot of my life, as folks know, working to make Pittsfield a better place, whether it be in city government over the last 20 years, whether it be in the charity or nonprofit organizations that I've belonged to or served on their boards. Obviously, I'm the guy who has run the 4th of July parade with a terrific committee for the last 20 plus years, my youth bowling coaching. And I think it's time to take the next step and take all of the skill sets that I have from my private sector and the financial industry, from my public service, serving on the city council, along with a variety of other commissions like Traffic Commission, Conservation Commission, and the organizations like Downtown Pittsfield Inc., Berkshire United Way, the boards that I've served on. It's time to take that step. You know, Pittsfield's at a really crucial place. We have a lot of great foundations that have been built by a lot of great former mayors, and it's time to kind of bring all those people together. And the one thing that I'm seeing in this campaign is that people that I would not have expected to be with me that were not with me back in 2011 are joining the team and working on the race. And so people think I'm kind of not really in the right mode when I say one Pittsfield, but in order for Pittsfield to succeed, we all have to get on the same team. And I think I'm the guy that'd be able to put that team together.
Recently, I had an interview with AJ Enchil, not to take your time. And that's what we were saying, that we have to come together as a team and move forward. So I think that's pretty good philosophy, but that's just me.
Well, I think Pittsfield has proven itself to be the Hatfields and McCoys politically for a long time. And it's time for us to come together and put all the great minds to work, working in the same direction to accomplish many great things.
Well, I think that's a really good concept and a good way of doing it. Hey, what would be your top three to five projects if you should prevail and win this election?
So I think first off, we need to establish a different leadership style and a different communication style. So folks know that I'm going to hold my team accountable, and I expect to be held accountable from the public. But we need to really focus on issues such as mental health and substance use disorder issues. We know that that is a large part of our crime and our homeless situation and our panhandling situation. So, you know, we need to tackle that in a tactful way and work to bring all the service providers together to be working on that. So, you know, I don't want to say crime, but I want to say mental health issues and substance use disorder. We also need to spend a great amount of time with workforce training. We have a number of jobs that are unfilled because we have a population that's not trained to fill those jobs. And then lastly, we have the PETA property that it so desperately needs tenants. We need to bring new business. And as we enter into the next phase of the refurbishment of those three parcels, we need to be out pounding the pavement to find companies to move in to take those places.
The number one question that I've been asked about, and I'm sure you've been asked, what will be your approach on North Street and the bike lane?
So I think that North Street and the bike lane is a pretty easy conversation. And you know, I get frustrated that we're spending so much time on a conversation about bike lanes when there are so many, I think, more pressing issues that can put Pittsfield in a much better place from an economic development stand. But we can very quickly come in and look at a North Street that has sidewalk, maybe a 2-foot bike lane with curbing. The downtown merchants have petitioned the city council for diagonal parking. So let's do a full-fledged public input session to make sure that we're all on the same page, because we've heard that the downtown merchants want diagonal parking, but is that 100% of the merchants? Is that 40% of the merchants that are speaking louder than others? And does the general populace support that? And if they do, then let's implement the diagonal parking and one lane of traffic. You know, my ultimate goal for downtown would be to create a downtown pedestrian mall and create that from Park Square to the Eagle Street, Columbus Avenue intersections. And then as we build that and we establish restaurants and create a destination place, we can expand it one block at a time after that.
Yeah, I think a former mayor, if I'm remembering correctly, Jimmy Roberto wanted to do something similar to that. All the ground floor fronts would be retail, and then people living upstairs in apartments and condos or whatever they're going to make them. But you started to address the panhandling, and I think maybe you should explain to people about the people on the corners and why nothing's being done about that.
Well, so I think that we have taken the Mass State Supreme Court ruling that panhandling is a freedom of speech and expression, and taken it to a level where we don't want to tackle the problem. And I think that there's a way to work with the district attorney and the chief and find a mechanism to combat that ruling, and not from a freedom of speech piece, but from a public safety piece. And so, you know, if someone happens to lean into a car to receive a donation from a person going by, and there's an accident or one of those people fall in front of a vehicle, what's the ramifications to those people? So I think we need to look at it from a public safety standpoint. And the other piece is that we should have our agencies out there almost every single day. There are services for you other places. Is it housing that you need? Let's hook you up with this entity. Is it job training or job placement? Let's hook you up over here. And I think that we need to be visiting them every single day or every other day to show them the other options.
Yeah, I'm trying to keep, remain, but this is a question I just got asked yesterday. In front of the old White Terrace, what can be done about that? I guess somebody was walking to go to that medical building and they got kind of panhandled. That's, to me, and I'm an old cop, and I don't even know if these laws still exist, but that would be loitering. They're there most of the day.
Well, and I think that that's the other piece to work with the chief and the DA on, is that what is panhandling? And because you talk in front of White Terrace, which is, you know, a really good forward-moving piece to the city. In the last week or so, that property was sold to a developer who is going to develop it into affordable housing. And so,
that's great.
You know, and that's where the fencing is for. So the city has a pretty significant ARPA funding into that project. And so, you know, I think it doesn't matter whether it's in front of the White Terrace apartments or if it's in Park Square. If you're standing someplace for 8 hours at a time, I think, you know, what's the different definition of loitering versus panhandling? And I'll leave it to the legal experts to determine, does the panhandling decision of the Supreme Court overturn the laws we have on the book with about loitering?
Yeah, well, thank you for that. And I believe that's a very good approach. Because there are ordinances, I don't know if the ordinances have been overruled or they're illegal or whatever anymore, but there used to be ordinances, especially for North Street. The other piece that is near and dear to my heart, and that is the new police station. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I know that we have been trying to pursue that for several years. And I think that we have to take a holistic approach. You know, first and foremost, you know, we talk about not spending money today. And, you know, during budget season, there was conversations as to whether or not we wanted some additional cruisers or whether we needed some additional cruisers. Mm-hmm. And so at this particular moment in time, I have no idea whether we want or need, but what I do know is that we're going to need them in the near future, and the price of vehicles aren't getting any cheaper. And the price of doing maintenance on all our buildings that we have ignored and declined to do over the last couple of decades is catching up with us. And that the classic example of that is the sewer treatment plant, where we waited 20 years to fix it, and here's this rather large bill that we now need to be paying for, which has an impact on the water and sewer bills.
Yep.
We need to do a complete evaluation of all of our properties and determine which ones we need or don't need, which ones are worth saving, and let's start making those investments today. Because if we say, well, let's put off today what we can do 20 years from now, we know the cost 20 years from now is going to be double the cost of today. And those decisions of ignoring maintenance is going to have a huge impact on folks' tax bills in the future.
Yeah, and as far as the police station goes, I have heard through the course of the people running for office that there is a desire, or I don't know the right word right now, but to gut it and revamp all of it in the existing building. I'm not an engineer. That building is really old. You're going to get into wiring that's older than me and asbestos. I don't think that's that me to you. I don't think that's a viable alternative. And the other piece is where it is now located in and of itself creates a dangerous situation.
So I think in order to make that decision, we need to actually do our due diligence and have here's a brand new state-of-the-art police station at location X, and here's the cost of completely gutting and refurbishing. But that needs to be done quickly, and that shouldn't take 10 years to get done. I mean, look at what we're doing with the police station today, and look at what we did when the basement of City Hall was deemed not workable. So the basement not being workable, we are now renting space at 100 North. Part of the police station is being moved to the old town hall building. And sure that we're not paying a lease on that because we own the building, but if we could have sold that building and put it back in the hands of a taxpayer entity, it wouldn't be sitting on the sidelines. It would be raising us revenue. And that's the logic that we need to start thinking about here in the city. You know, I've heard enough from folks about the status quo and who may be the status quo. And I hope folks listen to me during the campaign, because the vision that I'm trying to talk about is nothing like what we've done before. We need to take action, and we need to develop plans to refurbish or sell and put buildings back on the tax rolls to help us. And we know, you know, there's a couple ways of raising revenue, and you know, one of it is from the taxpayer dollars, and the others are creating other revenue sources, and clearly taking city buildings that don't pay taxes and putting them in the hands of developers who will develop them and get them back on the tax rolls is one of the ways of increasing revenues.
Well, I think the White Terrace is an excellent project. Well, before I forget, I wanted to say that when you talked about it, I didn't, somehow I missed that. What is your feeling about the police and fire and others in civil service? Would you leave it there? Would you take it out? I guess that's a big question. Today, what we have today, we have unions with arbitration that we never had before. So, but the question is to you on civil service.
So I think I'm not opposed to exploring the concept of taking them out of civil service. I think the issue is going to be, and you brought it up, union contracts should trump the civil service process. And so it's developing a relationship with the unions to be able to make that decision. And you know, the other piece is that would become a ballot question for the general public to decide, because our going into civil service happened from the ballot box, coming out of civil service would be the same. And as noted by my record of opposing ballot questions often, I think it's a difficult thing to put a ballot question on, because is the question explained properly? Is the question worded properly? And when people start campaigning for the question, are we campaigning with a truthful way? You know, are we all using our honesty and integrity, or are we making things up as we go along to make my side look like the better piece?
Yeah, I just anecdotally, I will throw in, through my lifetime, I've seen ballot questions where if you voted no, it meant yes. And if you voted yes, it meant no, by the way it was worded. So
I also go back to, and I guess where I have a bad vibe for ballot questions is that when I entered the political arena, it was 1999, and the following city election that I was on was, you know, just prior or just past the, I think it was June 5th, 2001 ballot question for a civic authority. And that whole argument was civic authority. Was it civic authority or was it a new stadium? Was it a new stadium or was it civic authority? Are we going to give people the authority to just take property any place they feel like it? And so there's where I say, when you put a ballot question on, and it's the same thing with campaigns and all of us running for mayor and all of us running for all the other offices, will create a vision of us that we want the population to see. And so I think we just have to be careful about those and make sure that if we're going to put them there, that the questions are pretty spelled out and they're not done by twisting the story or fear mongering or whatever else may come from that ballot question.
That if you had to identify how would you differ, your administration differ from the current administration?
So, I mean, I think that my administration would differ on a whole host of levels. And the first would be just my vision when I get elected, right? So November 7th is election day. That night I find out that I'm mayor-elect. The 8th and 9th, I take down lawn signs. And then I start meeting with department heads and say, listen, this is my vision. When I am inaugurated on January 2nd, in that week, I want to meet with all of you guys. And I want a 6-month plan of what we're going to do. And I want a 12-month plan of what we're going to do. And I want to go through that plan and evaluate it. And then after we've been in office together for 3 months, we're going to evaluate the plan. And I'm going to hold you accountable to that plan. And that plan is going to have the vision of what we want to see accomplished. You know, one of the things that we did this year, we found out that we had an enormous amount of free cash and the administration wanted to put $2 million into the stabilization fund, $2 million into the OPEB account and $2 million into the public works stabilization fund. And I kind of went, wait, all that money should go into the public works stabilization fund so that we can do more road work and buy more equipment that we need and not have to borrow the funds to do this. And there were some folks who said, well, let's put that free cash to the tax rate. So that's great for 1 year, and we're able to offer some tax relief. But the following year, when we create a budget, we don't have that $7.5 million again. And so we either need to make drastic cuts or we need to increase taxes. And so it's communication, it's holding folks accountable, and it's putting out a vision and telling folks, here we go, and we'll do this during the campaign. But once that vision is established in the campaign, and I talk about the fact that I wanted to create a downtown pedestrian mall, well, there's the plan. So where are we going to be 6 months from now? Where are we going to be 12 months from now and 18 months from now? We better have it done. And if we don't, we're going to hold people accountable to why we haven't been able to jump through the hoops.
One of the things I would like to bring out to very quickly is, and it's a note here, during the budget hearings, which because I don't have a life, I got to watch, there was a great deal about taxpayer cut this, cut that tax. For Ward, whatever, I'm speaking for the people of, as far as I'm concerned, in my experience in government, if you cut, then that's, you're cutting services. So let's be sure everyone understands, if you cut a budget, how will that affect the service? I think it's easy to say cut, 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 but you have to look.
Well, but I also think we need to take a different approach to budgeting. And I know that we've had folks talk about a zero-based budget before, but I know that in my years in government, and I've watched this through several administrations, we look at the budget and we say, okay, personnel costs rise by what percentage? And depending upon the department, depends upon the union contract, and voila, we make that increase. And then on the non-personnel side, you know, gas went up X percent, electric went up X percent. I think we need to take a different approach and say, why do we need all of these positions? You know, I was out knocking on doors this past weekend and ran into a city employee who had me engaged in probably a 30-minute conversation. And this person had a take of, well, do you know why we do this? And do we know why we do that? And this is coming from a city employee who really thinks that we're wasting money on process. And so if that's coming from a city employee, instead of poo-pooing the idea, why are we not exploring the idea and finding out if there's some validity to that concept and there could be some cost savings? And so making reductions doesn't necessarily have to be about reducing services, but you really have to have a systematic approach to evaluating every department's budget.
Yeah, you just can't say we'll cut $2 million off this budget without knowing the impact of that. And I think that's what we're both saying. You're probably saying it more astutely than I. But. I just would say this too. You have your background is in really involves a lot of supervisory managerial level jobs. Can you just give us a quick overview of those?
Sure. I mean, today at Pittsfield Co-op, and you know, it's one of the things that we've talked about on the campaign trail. I've been with Pittsfield Co-op for 35 years. Yeah. And on September 1st, I'm going out on a leave of absence so that I can campaign for the office on a regular daily basis, and not try to do 18-hour days to run for public office. But, you know, I started at the bank as a teller and worked my way through several positions to senior VP of retail banking. The bank has 54 employees, and 28 of those 54 employees are under my umbrella of the retail banking world. And so I am responsible for all four branches that we have, the two in Pittsfield, the one in Dalton, the one in Great Barrington. I'm responsible for the compliance end of the bank. The compliance officer reports to me, and what we call our deposit operations team, which is really the department that clears all your checks, you know, all your checks that you write clear through, all your debit card transactions process through, your retail online banking and mobile banking stuff processed through. So, you know, not only am I managing close to 50% or more than 50% of the bank, but I'm also managing three or four different aspects of the banking industry. And I think that those pieces will benefit me. And when I contrast myself to my opponents, I don't see that they have that supervisory experience. And I think the other piece that will really help me is, you know, the years of dealing with financial statements and working on things and having a better way of explaining to folks. You know, we talk about taxes and we complain about taxes going up, but we never really give an explanation of how the tax bill arrives at your door and how that tax bill is calculated. And the economy has a good piece of what that tax bill is. And so, you know, it doesn't do us any good to say, hey, you know, we have in the past voted to reduce your tax rate, because that doesn't translate to the statement of I reduced your tax bill. And when your property value rises, then, or when your property value rises, then if you can't reduce the tax rate by enough, your tax bill is going to increase. And when we look at today's markets, you know, and I use this often, I purchased my house on Valentine Road in 2015, and I paid $205,000 for it. And it's approaching the $325,000 mark in terms of assessed value. And I can just point to stuff that's happening around me. House two doors down to the left of me sold for $369,000.
Yeah.
The house across the street, diagonally across the street, sold for $399,000. And a house four doors down, three doors down on the right, sold for $500,000. It was on the market for $529,000 and sold it within a couple of days. And so, you know, the good side is my asset is now worth more. The bad news is, unless I'm planning on selling it and I can find a cheaper place to live, it does me no good. Right. And so, but those are things that we really need to explain to the public and to, right, you know, have them understand. And you know, I don't want to use the phrases, but, you know, I think just having an open door and making sure that I've established a routine in City Hall, that when there's problems in City Hall, it's great that my administrative assistant or another person in the office or another department has solved the problem. But I want to be in on at least the end game. And I know that there have been some issues over the last 8 years where the problem was bubbling and people were trying to take care of it, but the mayor didn't know that it was happening. And I don't want to be caught in that type of environment. You know, I've even gone as far as saying, hey, and maybe this is just because I've been the city council president for the last 8 years, when we get to a council meeting and a counselor wants to start talking to a department head and disciplining them in a public forum, I'm going to stand up and ask my department head to sit down.
Right.
I'm going to take control of the situation. I'm going to take accountability, and the buck stops with me. And then tomorrow I'll deal with the department head in a way that I see as appropriate. But if we have a working relationship and the doors of communication are open between me and the public, me and the council, me and the department heads, the departments and council, I think we can accomplish much better work than what we're doing today.
Peter, you have 3 minutes to tell the people why they should vote for Peter Marchetti for mayor.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks for the invitation to be on today. On September 19th and on November 7th, the people of Pittsfield will be asked to go to the polls and select their next mayor for 4 years. I want to say that I think I'm a known entity to folks because I've been around for as long as I have. But I want to remind the folks that my political tenure has been ups and downs. I've won some elections and lost some elections. And each election that I've lost, I've learned a valuable lesson from the people. And in each campaign I've run some valuable lessons from the people that I hold near and dear. My 35 years in the financial industry and supervisor experience, my dedication to the community leads me to be able to say, folks, on September 19th and November 7th, please vote for me, because I am leadership you can trust, experience you can count on, and dedication to the city that is topped by no one.
Well, thank you, Peter. Thanks for coming on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, you know how what I think. I don't care who you vote for. Peter does, but I don't. I just want you to vote. These sometimes these elections, the turnout is deplorable. So let's not have it. Let's show up at the polls, vote for the person that you want to vote for. As I say, every time you go in a cemetery, if you don't vote and you see all those flags fluttering in the breeze, say, I'm sorry. Because at some point in time, they all put their lives on the line so that we can vote. Peter, thank you for running and best of luck. And please, folks, vote. Thanks, Peter. And thanks for doing
this. Thanks, Bill. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Good luck.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon here on WTBR-FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is Community. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings, and screen rooms. Customized solutions available. Online at Sandrini.com.
The Berkshire's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
And now back to the Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Hello and welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. I'm Sean Sayre, and today I am interviewing Alex Blumen. Alex is a candidate for Ward 2 City Council here in the city of Pittsfield with the upcoming municipal election. There is a preliminary election on Tuesday, September 19th, and that will be the day that you'll have a choice in Ward 2 if you're listening. Alex is here with us here in the studio today. Welcome, Alex. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you for having me today. My name is Alex Blumen. I am running for Ward 2 councillor. The main reason I decided to run was that we need a city councillor who represents homeowners and taxpayers. And this is extremely important because backbone of a community are homeowners and taxpayers. Basically, city budget is created by property taxes, water and sewer, money from state of Massachusetts, certain federal funds. Therefore, homeowners are the base. Homeowners are foundation of this city.
Okay, well, thank you for that introduction. And just to let people know, too, that what we're doing here on WTBR is giving every candidate in the race a chance to appear on the Morning Drive program here to do a little interview and to let the voters get to know the candidates a little bit more. So I do appreciate you being here. So tell us a little bit about yourself. And what interested you in running for Ward 2?
I was born in Odessa, Ukraine in 1959. I immigrated legally to the United States in 1994. Became citizen in 1999. I moved to city of Pittsfield in 2005 when I bought first house. Next year, in 2006, I bought another house for rental purpose. I'm running rental business for low-income residents, for people on disability, and there are a lot of tenants in my building for certain kinds of disabilities. So I have experience with dealing for varieties of residents and tenants with certain difficulties, with certain health and mental issues. And basically, I'm getting no help whatsoever from state. I'm not funded by Boston or local municipality. I run basically using my own money, my own funds. Mm-hmm. Definitely, I have couple Section 8 tenants who are getting money from Berkshire and Peaceful Housing Authority, but it is the tenants who are getting money. So again, I'm running using my skills, my knowledge, and my experience, which I intend to bring to City Council.
Okay, very good. And so in this campaign for Ward 2 City Council, representing that particular ward, what do you believe are the three most pressing issues facing specifically Ward 2?
Forgive me, but in my view, there is no such thing as specific three issues or specific five issues.
Uh-huh. Well, give us the first couple that come to mind.
First of all, main concern of city councilors must be property taxes and water and sewer, because as we know, this year, Mayor Linda Tyer, who is no longer running for re-election, she increased city budget, but by 8.9%. Even though all previous years, city budget was increased approximately by 4.5%. So this year, this coming year, 2024, we have unprecedented increase of city budget. Mm. Consequently, to have such large budget, which is $205 million, a city has no choice but to increase property taxes and water and sewer as well. So it is serious concern for homeowners and residents, and not just for homeowners, but for tenants as well, because landlord like myself, when I'm getting a property tax increase, how should I pay it? I have only one way to pay increased property taxes, by increasing rent for my tenants. Mm-hmm. Therefore, what city administration is doing basically comes to the shoulders of low-income people, people on disabilities, and for landlords like myself. I'm not a wealthy person, but I do not complain. Financially, I'm okay. Mm-hmm. But what I'm trying to say, that there are many homeowners who live on fixed income. And we heard several times residents talking on city council meetings their property taxes became unaffordable. It became unsustainable. And I see certain room for improvement, such as we should try to decrease certain city spendings.
Okay. To follow up on that, because it seems like you think that the highest priority are the property taxes and the water and sewer costs. What types of things then would you reduce in the city budget in order to level that out?
Good question. So in order to answer, but before answering your question, I would like to mention definitely there are other problems besides property taxes, water and sewer, such as homelessness, such as substance abuse. 15 years ago, they used different definition, but now it's polite wording, substance abuse. Okay, so but answering your question, what is possible to do to reduce city budget? Let me bring some specific numbers to answer your question.
Okay.
Budget summary provided by city administration. We see even in last column right here, you can find this online on internet. This is main homepage of City of Pittsfield, and you can find city budget. You can click, you can see all columns and lines. So percentage change for information technology department, 32% basically 32% increase for 1 year. It's 1/3 more money for information technology department. What is behind that increase? I seen only two people working in information technology department. One person was working on second floor of City Hall, and another is Mr. Mann working in police department. Maybe there are more people, but I never seen them. But probably even more people. But let me tell you a specific number of how much is city budget for information technology, just one department. Approved 2024 budget for information technology department, $1,267,000. So we don't need to change computers every year. We don't need to change software every year, even if we do need. It should not be $1.2 million per year.
Okay.
It's too much.
Are there any other departments or areas of the city that you might want to cut back on? Let's say some of the larger ones would be the school budget.
Yes. Thank you for reminding me about school budget. School budget for a year 2024 is $78+ million. $78 million for school department. How many kids do we have in City of Pittsfield? I recall a number in a couple years ago was around 6,000 kids.
Mm-hmm.
To educate 6,000 kids, a city spends $78 million. And this is not all. This is not total number. Also, we should consider school maintenance, which is city budget in different line. We should consider pension obligations of retired school employees. So if we make a total amount, it may be well of about $100 million per year. Out of $205 million, it's almost like 50% of city budget to educate 6,000 kids. It's obviously overspending, even though many city councilors disagree with me. They keep talking that allegedly school teachers are underpaid, but I don't think having such huge budget, school teachers are underpaid. It's just impossible.
Hmm. All right. Well, interesting position there. I'm sure you would have some people that would disagree, but certainly that's your position as candidate, and that's what we're trying to introduce to people here today. So once again, you're listening to Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM, and we're here with Alex Blumen, running for Ward 2 City Councilor. Believe me, you'll have plenty of chances to answer all the questions and to expound on that as much as you'd like here today. Tell us about other positions in the city of Pittsfield that are concerning to you. I asked about specifically Ward 2, and you said that generally Pittsfield issues are not specific to Ward 2. So name a couple more that come to mind that are very important to you.
With all due respect, you misunderstood me. What I was trying to say, that common issues for whole city definitely apply to Ward 2. Mm-hmm. We cannot separate Ward 2, like allegedly it's some kind of separate country. Mm-hmm. It is belong to the city.
Yeah. Well, sometimes the same inside a ward, let's say there might be a bridge or a particular road that needs some attention or something like that. I think that's really where I was headed.
I agree.
With that.
Yeah. I agree with your statement completely, even though it's not extremely important, but I agree with you. And specifically on Ward 2, I live on Hamlin Street. I seen blight on Adam Street. I address it to health department. To be honest with you, they're very polite, very nice people working in health department, but they're very slow. They're unfortunately very slow. They explained to me that in order to remove mattress, 2 months, there is huge mattress on Adam Street lying on city sidewalk. They move it a little bit, and 2 months I'm addressing this mattress to health department. They explained to me there is specific process. We cannot push forward. We should comply to certain rules and procedures, but it's too much.
Okay. Yeah.
Also, I seen on Adam Street, I seen furniture across the mattress. I also address it to health department. I got the same reply. We should comply with certain process, certain procedures. We're doing our best. But furniture, you can see even today, just drive through Adam Street.
Right. Well, here's a follow-up question to that. It's actually a question I was planning on asking you, which was your position on trash and recycling and trash disposal. The current situation right now is that there's no limit to what people can put out at the curb. There is some limit in terms of bulky items, like you mentioned, mattresses and sofas and things like that can be difficult to take away. But do you feel that we're paying too much for trash removal, and that also maybe there should be a new way of handling it, maybe with either a pay-as-you-throw model or a container or a bin? These are things that have been brought up.
No,
so you want to keep it exactly the same way it is.
Not exactly,
no?
But I disagree with your approach.
Okay.
Why? Because what you just explained, it's very similar to what was proposed by Mayor Tyers' associate, ex-councillor Nicholas Kakama. He proposed specifically what you just described.
Yeah, there are a few different proposals out there. That's
also
one of them.
There was, allowed me to finish.
Yeah, please.
Also, there was proposal from then city councilor John Kroll. He also proposed something like a different color of bags, different number of bags. But
what do you prefer?
What we have now is basically good for residents. And what happened, Mayor Linda Tyer lost her bid to change garbage collection methods. She lost it, and ex-councillor Nicholas Kakama also lost it. It is not me who did it. People were against that.
And so you feel that keeping it the same, no matter what the cost is?
No, definitely we should address garbage collection specifically. I am by both hands for recycling. However, city administration should educate landlords and tenants. It is not enough information for tenants and even some landlords how to recycle, what is recyclable, what is not recyclable. For instance, many homeowners don't know that certain plastic, even though it's plastic, it's not recyclable. Yeah. You cannot place it into blue recyclable boxes.
Right.
And the same goes with paper and cardboards. Certain cardboard, even it is physically cardboard, it's still not recyclable. For instance, boxes from pizza, they don't want them. So it's not considered recyclable. But my view, we should increase recycling. And about weight, basically idea is that allegedly we are overspending for taking out regular garbage. But you should understand that not all residents are wealthy. There are many poor residents, many people who live on disability with a lot of children and dogs and cats. So they have regular garbage because of children stuff, diapers, and dogs and cats stuff. How can we charge them for that if they live on low income? They basically have extremely low income.
Yeah. Okay, we get that position. So thank you very much. I want to get through a few more questions for you as we only have a few more minutes to go in our 28-minute interview. Your position on bike lanes on North Street. Big issue.
My position is that personal position should not be considered. It should be city referendum. I have my own position, but it's irrelevant.
So you want the voters to decide?
Yes.
Okay.
Voters should decide. And I believe...
But you don't believe one way or another, it doesn't really matter to you.
I have my own opinion, but you may dislike my opinion. And my opinion is irrelevant. I believe we need to go back to two lines as it was before. I don't like computerized parking kiosks because they are, first of all, they are in English language, and we have a lot of people from South America. We have a lot of new immigrants. We have immigrants from Africa, from Middle East, who cannot read English. It's basically, and where city is paying rent to company who provides those computerized kiosks. So, and even for American citizens, for elderly who were born here, they ask me a couple times my help how to use those computerized
the parking kiosks.
Parking kiosks, and I help them. So even for American elderly people, it's not easy to use it.
Okay. Very good. So another changing topic just slightly to go on to the requirement that the emergency services, the police chief, the fire chief, people like that must have residency in the city of Pittsfield. That's an ordinance on the books right now. There's been some discussion about changing that to allow people from outside of the city to occupy those positions. What do you think of that?
I believe we must have chief police, and you mentioned
fire chief.
And fire chief as residents of city of Pittsfield. what those counselors keep talking about. I recall the city councilor, and he is very polite, he is very kind, even though sometimes I disagree with his view. City councilor at large, Peter White, explained his view that for wider pool of people, we should allow residents of other cities to apply to become police chief and fire department chief. No, we have a lot of good educated and qualified people right here in City of Peaceville, number one. Number two, let's assume that some extremely good person resides in North Adams who wants to apply to become a fire chief. We should give him condition. You can apply if you become resident of Pittsfield. Yes, then you can apply.
How long would you give them to become a resident if they got the job?
It's not extremely important, but idea is important that positions in city government, in city departments must be given to residents of Pittsfield. We have a lot of educated, intelligent, and smart people.
Okay, well, there you go. That's as crystal clear as you can get on that position. What about the condition of the police department building? That seems to be an issue that kind of bubbles under a little bit. It's a really old building. It has some deficiencies. There are people that have talked about needing a new building for the police department. Are you in favor of building a new building for the police department? And you know, what cost do you think would be reasonable?
Definitely, I have answer for that. But I must provide logical answer. In order to reply to your question, we should know specifics. Why specifically the building is no longer good for police department? Mm-hmm. What are those deficiencies? Mm-hmm. What are those specifics that allegedly a police department can no longer use old building? Mm-hmm. Maybe we can improve it. Mm-hmm. Maybe we can add something into old building. And if and only if there is no other possibility for improvement, only then we should think about new building for police department, not because they ask it.
Okay. So you think that it basically needs more investigation. You need to know the numbers first
before exactly.
you can decide on that.
Numbers and reasons, specific reasons.
Okay. One other question for you, sort of in the line of police department, but also some other city employees. We have something here called civil service, which you're probably familiar with, which you have to go through that process in order to become a police chief or a fire chief. You have to get an application and you have to pass a test. And then, you know, you can be one of three candidates that the mayor can choose from as a police chief instead of just choosing the person that the mayor thinks is the right person to be police chief. And that will be coming up in the next couple of years because Chief Wynn recently retired. So should the police chief be under civil service or should the mayor just be able to choose whoever he or she wants?
I see discrepancy in your question. What specifically I see? How to choose police chief? There is specific Massachusetts general law about that.
Correct.
Therefore, it is not up to me.
But we could opt out of that system. So should we opt out of civil service for those positions, I guess, is a better way to ask the question.
Again, Massachusetts general law was created by Massachusetts legislature. If somebody dislike it, so he or she should try to amend Massachusetts general law. But if you are right, that we can amend it a little bit, I believe it should not be up to mayor's liking. It should not be up to city councilor's opinion. It should be specific process who is qualified. It should be exam. Mm. It should be specific qualifications.
So it sounds like you lean toward keeping civil service in place for those positions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Good enough. Alex Blumen, candidate for Ward 2 here in the city of Pittsfield for our upcoming preliminary election, which is going to be on September 19th. That's a Tuesday. Polls are open from 8 to 8 here in the city of Pittsfield. The remainder of the time here for about 30 seconds is yours. Tell us why people should vote for you as their ward counselor.
Voting for me, you vote for yourself. Vote September 19 for me, Alex Blumen, for War 2 counselor. Thank you.
All right, there you have it. Alex Blumen, thank you very much for being our guest here on the show today and letting the voters know a little bit more about yourself and your positions. We appreciate it. And that's what we try to do here at WTBR and Morning Drive, is make sure that we have an educated populace and people and voters know what they're talking about. So thanks again. And we will be back with more programming on Morning Drive in a bit. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.